So here we are, nearly 2 months into the pandemic, and we have yet to really discuss the pandemic on the Coaching Culture podcast. Many people have reached out to us. They've asked us to do an episode on ways to stay connected with your team or some other strategies on how to build your culture during this period. And honestly, we have put it off, and there really was two reasons that we've put it off. And the first is that Nate and myself have been unsure of what coaches really need. You know, we've been trying to figure that out. And secondly, if I was really transparent, we are still trying to figure things out in our own life. I personally have had a few sleepless nights staring at the ceiling with worry and anxiety. I've had some less than stellar parenting moments, losing my patience with my kids, my family. Yet I've also had some really great moments and great times, and I've experienced some growth. And that's not just the 10 pounds of weight I've already put on, but I've experienced some growth personally. Now, I'm not sure Nate or I have it figured out, but we do feel ready to share with coaches. And this episode, we're not really going to share a bunch of strategies on ways to build your culture during this period. I think there's lots of ideas out there, and I don't know if you need more ideas. This episode's more about stepping back and us reflecting not just on what do your players need during this time, but what do you need? How can you best spend this time during this lockdown, during this period of isolation? And that may be growing your culture. It may be improving your team. It may be growing as a coach, or maybe something entirely different. You're listening to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin alongside my co-host, Nate Sanderson. Every week in around 30 minutes, we're giving you strategies and tools for you to grow as a leader and build your culture. We know the reason why most teams struggle, and that is because they have a dysfunctional culture. This leaves coaches frustrated with entitled players, losing seasons, and toxic environments. And at Thrive on Challenge, we believe that the silver bullet is a transformational culture. We help coaches to create and sustain transformational cultures so they can strengthen relationships, raise standards, and inspire others to make an impact. To learn more about our workshops, retreats, and mentorship program, go to thriveonchallenge.com. You can also get the coaching notes PDFs for every Coaching Culture episode by subscribing to our weekly newsletter. Hey, before we jump into today's episode, just want to let you know I'm offering a 31-day journal challenge. There's a link in the episode details. You can click that link and sign up. I think that's a really great way to spend the next 31 days, just 3 to 5 minutes a day in the morning or evening, reflecting on just a certain question I'm going to throw out to you. If you've been wanting to build that habit of journal reflection, of mindfulness, it's just a cool, simple way. Click on the link in the episode details of this podcast. Also, the Self and Team Awareness Workshop from Equilibria is going to be offered virtually to coaches out there. Myself, Lynn Ketchmerick, and Mike Avery are offering that over the next couple of weeks, where we've partnered up together to deliver a really interactive, fun, engaging workshop. It's an absolute game changer. There's some links to that in the episode details as well, or you can go to thriveonchallenge.com/webinars. We'd love to have you join us. You're listening to episode 137, Coaching Through a Global Pandemic.
Well, JP, you and I have spent some time over the last 6 weeks or so since the pandemic has kind of sent everybody home for good, talking to coaches about what they're doing with their teams. And I think you've been kind of uniquely situated here to be able to draw on quite a few interesting ideas that you've heard from some coaches. And I know we're going to talk about this topic from a number of different angles this week, but you want to share a few of the things that you've seen some coaches do to try to reach out and connect with their team during this time.
Yeah, it's been really cool, Nate, because like you said, I get to talk to a lot of coaches and I get to see what people are doing to really make the most of this time. And it honestly, I'm really blown away by some of the ways that coaches are managing to not only just stay connected with their players, but to support their players and to deepen the relationships. You know, a few of them, a few coaches in the mentorship program, I know are playing just even video games with their players, and they've got little, 2K basketball tournaments they're doing, and they're using that as times to connect as a whole team, where the players are sitting watching the coach and giving them a hard time, and other coaches are just sitting having one-on-one chats with a player while they're playing them in a video game. And I found that really, really unique and special to be able to connect with athletes on their level. We've seen coaches do group chats on Zoom. We've seen coaches use this to in a more formalized way with their exit interviews that they might have traditionally been running at this stage of the season. We've seen those one-on-one exit interviews. There's plenty of things out there posted around virtual workouts that players and teams are doing. I've had a few coaches do book studies. Even got a couple coaches that are using the captain's council system that we have, where each captain has a unit. There's around three or four players in that unit. And they're using that to organize hangouts on House Party, and they're just playing games and having fun. So you're seeing a lot of really unique and cool ideas to connect with the players, to support players, probably even more than they would traditionally have done at this stage of the year for most teams, which is pretty fascinating.
Well, I love some of those ideas. And obviously one of the challenges, and you know this, working with so many coaches in different sports at different levels, you know, not everybody's going to want to play video games with their coach or do a book study. Or we've got one coach that's kind of watching The Last Dance together, you know, and they're having commentary during that. And I think one of the ways to figure out what does your team need most or what can best serve your team and your players where they're at is just to really engage your captains. You mentioned the captain's council there. Nobody's going to have a better understanding or be able to probably generate ideas that are more applicable to the guys that you're working with than just engaging your captains in that process and trying to come up with some creative ways to be able to connect.
Well, I think there's a lot of coaches feeling pressure or an expectation of them to be doing a lot with their team during this time, because I would say, honestly, I want to blame largely social media, right? There's coaches, every time they do something with their team, I think it's awesome. They're sharing that and they're sharing those ideas. But a lot of times as coaches, we can be sitting back going, well, I'm not doing that. And it just feels like we're not doing enough. And I think one of my first encouragements, you know, for coaches is exactly what you said, empowering the players to speak up. But when we do that, we need to drop any requirement or expectation of them, because every team and every group of players and every player is in a different situation. You think about, I've got one coach, he's got multiple players where both parents are trying to work from home. And what are they tasked with? They're tasked with babysitting their little brother or sister. You know, like, that's really hard for a teenage boy or girl to do. And so I think we need to be really understanding that everyone is in a different place. And some players, they may need those team connections. That may be really important. Some may be really focused and need to be able to work out and need that support for their workouts. And other players may just need to stay on top of their schoolwork, help out around the house, and maybe spend some time with their family and away from their sport. I think another thing I would suggest to coaches is to remember the level of your connection may vary. You know, some coaches are just getting their program off the ground. They're just starting to get their players, you know, to know their players. So you may not be having these deep connections or doing a lot with your team during this pandemic. Whereas other coaches may be in a position where players have strong relationships and a need to connect with the people that are really, really important in their life to them, and those being their teammates. And I guess I'd leave coaches with this on when it comes to how to have that conversation with your captain's council or your captains or just a few key influencers on your team. And that is to just maybe compile a few ideas, a few of your favorite ideas that you think might work best for your players. Sit down, have a conversation with them. What do you guys think we need to stay connected during this time? And what are some potentially some ways that we could continue to stay in shape, work on our skills, if that's something that we need to be doing as well? And you can be there with that menu of options to help them with some ideas as well and run things by them to see if they may have interest in pursuing that as a team.
Well, one of the things we're going to talk about in this episode is seeing this not necessarily as an obstacle, but as an opportunity. You know, when we start to think about what can you gain in your relationship with your players during this time when everybody's forced to stay at home? You know, Tim Elmore, who's written a number of books about how to connect with Generation Z, his number one recommendation for coaches during this time is to deepen their personal relationship and the personal connection that they have with each player, learning more about their families and, you know, what are they doing during the day? What are they asked to do by their parents? What are the challenges in their home that may be unique from some of their other teammates? And if you're able to create some of that vulnerability and sharing, whether that's in small groups or in a Zoom chat, whatever it might be, we often don't have the time necessarily to get to know our players in that way during a season. And this may be an opportunity to deepen some of those relationships because we've all sort of have the time and are all kind of in the same place.
I think that's a great suggestion. And I think one of the challenges coaches face is sometimes how do we make those connections, especially when they're done virtually? And I this is one of the things I love about Equilibria. You know, we've talked about on the podcast before, had Lynn Kaczmarek to talk about, is just understanding certain personalities are going to connect in certain ways. So I think we just need to know our players and not try to necessarily have the same approach. Like we talked about book studies. A few players may like to engage in a group chat over a book study. Coming back to the video game, you may have to play video games with one of your players to be able to have them open up or have that one-on-one conversation, but just trying to find ways to meet them where they're at based upon their personality and their needs, I think is really important. But I would also like to bring up the other point, which is if we want them to share what's hard for them, what's been challenging for them, I think we need to sometimes go first in that conversation. I don't think we should be afraid to say, hey, this has been pretty tough for me, or this is what I've been doing the last few weeks with my family during the lockdown. And so I really would encourage coaches to step out and be vulnerable during this time with their players about maybe some of the challenges that they're facing through this pandemic.
JP, I think building off that piece of vulnerability, which I don't care who you are, how old you are, what your role is, you know, on the team as a coach or a player, vulnerability can be uncomfortable. And sometimes that's not a place that we go very readily in terms of, you know, I think about my situation here. You know, I've got a 5-year-old at home. I'm supposed to be getting her to read books and do math every day. And we're doing webinars and we're doing podcasting and, you know, trying to work from home at the same time. And it is a disaster most days of the week. And I think that, you know, one of the unique things about this is that, as I said before, everybody's kind of faced with that, the similar situation. You know, in a lot of ways, we're all kind of in the same stage of life right now, whether you're a player or a coach being trapped in your home with responsibilities that you have to figure out a way to do that you've never had to do in this way before, whether it's doing school or trying to work out or watching your siblings or trying to work and do homeschool or whatever. And so I think, as you mentioned, not only sharing, you know, the challenges at whatever depth of intimacy you're willing to share with your players or with your team, but I think one of the unique opportunities here as well is being able to model how are you thinking about those challenges and how are you coping with that? You know, because we're all sort of in uncharted waters and uncharted territory here. And there's a lot of anxiety and uncertainty and frustration that can build. And I think having an adult, having someone with a little bit more mature perspective on life, not only to share what's difficult, but here's how we're trying to work with our 5-year-old. Here's how I'm trying to work through my frustration. Here's how we're trying to make a schedule when there's no routine at all in our daily life. You know, gives these young people a perspective that maybe is valuable that they're not getting in other places in their own homes.
Well, I know a lot of coaches and I know their players have this feeling or this desire to make the most of this of their time right now, to learn, to grow, to improve. And I think that desire comes from our ambitious nature to want to excel as a coach, to want to excel as a team and as an athlete. But I also think it comes from the pressures of social media because we're seeing so much of what other people are doing and that there's great ideas out there and that inspires us to try to do all those things. That pressure didn't exist, heck, even 10 years ago, you know, and now we have to live in that world. I mean, I know I just had a conversation with my wife before this where she was on a hangout at work and everyone was talking about all the things that they were doing during this time. They were working extra hours to learn, you know, new types of way to of coding. And they were also learning foreign languages and they're learning, you know, new recipes. And I think she came off that call almost experiencing not more creativity or more excitement to try new things. She was actually frustrated because she's like, I'm just trying to survive here with two kids in a 1,000-square-foot house where we haven't left in 6 to 7 weeks. So I think that coaches and players alike may just need permission to stop, to slow down a little bit here during this time as well.
Well, I don't want to play armchair psychologist here, but I'm going to. I think one of the reasons that as coaches we get drawn into trying to grow and trying to continue to learn and attend every online clinic and have Zoom chats with, you know, people that we wouldn't normally be able to connect with. One, it is an awesome opportunity to be able to do some of those things. But two, I think it also just provides us some comfort because none of us have been in this place before. And there's a certain amount of anxiety that is inherent just in this world that we're living in. I mean, you think about all the things that are unknown and at this point are really unpredictable that cause a lot of anxiety. And maybe one simple way to cope with that is we just keep trying to fill our schedule and keep learning and keep moving forward and keep doing workouts because it is comforting. But at the same time, you know, when we start to think about, well, what is the source of some of those anxieties that we feel? One of them as coaches, and again, it goes back to your point about social media, is that when we turn on Twitter and we see, oh, there was this great Zoom chat and this great coaches clinic, and I didn't have a chance to get on as much as I wanted to because I had my kids, or, you know, we see what everyone else is doing and we compare it to what we're doing and we think, man, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I'm not taking advantage of this as other people are. And that feeling of comparison is actually what our athletes and our young people are experiencing on a daily basis on their interactions with Twitter or Instagram or social media. Maybe for the first time as coaches, we're kind of exposed to that in some way where we feel the pressure to do more, be more than maybe what our situation allows for because we see other people doing it. And I know I've used this analogy with you before, but I remember, you know, 100 years ago being in high school, sitting in the basement, you know, playing Mario Kart with my friends. We didn't know that there were other people out having a good time at parties and, you know, hanging out together because we weren't constantly looking at our phones and seeing images of people having more fun than we were. And so there, it didn't bother us. You know, we were just enjoying our time together. But that's not the world that we live in today. And in some ways, we kind of have to deal with that experience of anxiety in a different way if we fall into that comparison trap by seeing what everyone else is doing and posting on social media. And JP, I think there's another source of anxiety, you know, that we're all dealing with here too, and that's just simply the unknown. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be summer workouts. We don't know if there's going to be school starting in the fall. We don't know if there's going to be a fall season or a winter season. We don't know what the situation is going to be with testing and vaccines and all these other, you know, potential solutions. And I think that especially in the sports world, because we're so used to structure and schedule, right? And we know what's coming next, that the unknown just causes a great deal of anxiety because we're really not sure when are we going to be back on the court? When are we going to be able to be back in school? And that becomes a difficult thing to deal with as well.
Well, coaches aren't the only ones experiencing anxiety or this fear of the unknown for next year. Players are, you know, I've had many players ask their coaches, is there a point of doing all this if we don't even have a season next year?
Well, JP, I think one of the questions just to consider both, and this is probably for coaches and for players, is that's a fair question to ask. Well, why does it matter what we do now if we're not going to have a season this fall or we're not going to have a season this winter? My question to you would be, well, what can you do as a team to make it matter? I mean, in what way as a coach can you add value to the lives of your players if they're going to miss out on their season? You know, what would make that experience more palatable if you were going through it together? How can you create some kind of experience that's going to still make it significant, you know, that they can look back and say, well, I missed my junior year. Or maybe they missed their senior year. But in some way, we went through that thing together. We learn something about, you know, how we have to navigate life's challenges together. We can't do it on our own. So how can we do that even if there is no opportunity for us to be out on the court or to be out on the field again this fall or this winter?
What I absolutely love about that question is I think it can really help us as coaches to reconnect with our purpose. The fear or the possibility that the season wouldn't even happen. What do we still want to matter about this experience that we're creating for the athletes? I think it's a powerful question, Nate, to help us reconnect with our purpose. And you know, another thing I think we need to address, Nate, is that every coach, everybody out there, regardless of our circumstances, we're experiencing some frustrations. Things are not the way that we want them to be. Nobody anticipated this. Nobody could have foreseen this. And definitely nobody wanted this situation that we're currently in. But here we are. We are in a lockdown. And where I'm located, we are 8 weeks in this lockdown in Ireland. And it is tough. It's frustrating. But a philosophy and a mindset that has been so helpful for me is that of the Stoic philosopher. I read a lot of Ryan Holiday's work, The Ego is the Enemy, The Obstacle is the Way, and a book that has spoken to me into my life in some big ways is his book, The Daily Stoic. I'd recommend it for coaches, but one of the core philosophies of Stoicism is to just accept things as they are, to accept things as they are. And it has been so important, and it's been such a great reminder for me, and it's been a great default type of mindset during this time. You know, I even think about the conversations that I get to have with people all over the world. And oftentimes, you know, people ask, you know, hey, what's your opinion? What do you think about all this? You know, should you guys still be in lockdown, or are they being too conservative? Or, and it feels like if you turn on social media, everybody seems to have an opinion. I've chosen just to not have an opinion because I realized about a month and a half ago that me having an opinion on when we should all be able to go back to work, when we should be able to go and do these things, or should sports go ahead, or should they not be able to go ahead, or should there be spectators? I realized that my opinion on those things did not matter. It was me having an opinion was not going to help my situation. What would help my situation is if I accepted things as they were and focused on what I can control. And that for me meant focusing on trying to provide more value for coaches. It meant spending more time with my kids and connecting with them and using this time to grow my relationship with my wife. That's what it's looked like for me. Now, let me just say this hasn't been easy. This takes a lot of intentionality on my part. It takes a lot of, you know, waking up every morning and having that routine of reflection and mindfulness and pulling out my journal. I've had some really bad days along this road here. But I would say the majority of them, I've been able to really focus on the present and not so much on the uncertainty of the future.
Well, JP, I think that right there is maybe one of the biggest challenges of all in this is just the uncertainty, and not only that, but the lack of control that we seem to have over our future, short term, medium term, whatever it might be. And that can be so frustrating. And I think your approach there of just, it isn't where we want to be. We're not in the situation that we expected to be, but it is where we are. And if we can just accept that and try to make the most of it, that's probably the best way forward. And when we think about kind of our impact on players, you know, and the kids on our team, everybody's going to have a different level of connection and opportunity to be able to engage with them. But ultimately, if we can view this time, you know, this unique place that we're at in the world, as a gift and not a curse, not focus on the things that have been taken away from us, but focus on the opportunities that have been presented to us. And maybe that is growing as a coach. Maybe that is deepening the relationship with your players. Maybe that's also learning how to interact with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old a little bit better because I have time to be able to invest in that. Maybe that's the opportunity to grow in new ways, you know, and read about things that have nothing to do with my sport. But at the end of the day, I think the way forward and the way that we want to model for our players is that, yes, we're acknowledging the challenge, we're acknowledging the frustration and the difficulties that we find ourselves facing, that everybody is in the same boat. But can we model a way that says we're going to make the best of this and we're going to embrace it as an opportunity that we wouldn't have had if we weren't in pandemic 2020?
Now, coaches, I know that I mentioned the importance of journaling and reflection during this time. And so I want to invite you to join me and about 100 other coaches in a 31-day journal challenge that I'm running in May. And you're probably a little bit late to the game here, and that is fine. You can start from day one whenever you sign up. I'll put a link to the 31-day journal challenge in the episode details. Also, Equilibria and Sports is offering a self and a team awareness workshop, and you can register for that at thriveonchallenge.com/webinars. This workshop is a great opportunity for you to grow in your self-awareness, your leadership, and elevate your communication. It's going to give you a great idea if you want to introduce Equilibria to your team this year. If you want to develop social and emotional intelligence, then Equilibria in sports, it's a game changer. The webinars that you're going to be a part of are going to be interactive, they're going to be fun, and there's going to be a lot of self-awareness, regardless of how many years you've been coaching, teaching, and leading. If you're interested, go to thriveonchallenge.com/webinars. There's links there to register. We're offering two different sessions with myself, Lynn Kaczmarek, and Mike Avery, who both Lynn and Mike have been on some previous podcasts in the last few months.